said Simony. "I've got a copy out of the library," said Brother. "But you can't read and write," said Didactylos. "No, but I can see and draw. Two copies, one to keep here. Plenty of room when we burn the Septuagint," said Simony. "No burning of anything." "You have to take a step at a time," said Brother. He looked out at the shimmering line of the desert. Funny, he'd been as happy as he'd ever been in the desert. "And then," he began. "Yes?" Brother lowered his eyes to the farmlands and villages around the citadel. He sighed. "And then we'd better get on with things," he said. "Every day." Faster Benj rode home in a thoughtful frame of mind. It had been a very good few days. He'd met a lot of new people and sold quite a lot of fish. Patang Patang, with his lesser servants, had talked personally to him, making him promise not to wage war on some place he'd never heard of. He'd agreed. Faster Benj's people had no word for war, since they had no one to fight and life was quite tough enough as it was. Patang Patang's words had arrived as, "Remember when Patcher Modge hit his uncle with the big rock? Like that, only more worse." Some of the new people had shown him this amazing way of making lightning. You hit this rock with this piece of hard stuff, and you got little bits of lightning which dropped onto dry stuff, which got red and hot like the sun. If you put more wood on it, it got bigger, and if you put a fish on, it got black. But if you were quick, it didn't get black, but got brown and tasted better than anything he'd ever tasted, although this was not difficult. And he'd been given some knives, not made out of rock and cloth, not made out of reeds, and all in all, life was looking up for Faster Benj and his people. He wasn't sure why lots of people would want to hit Pachamodge's uncle with a big rock, but it definitely escalated the pace of technological progress. No one, not even Brother, noticed that old Lutse wasn't around anymore. Not being noticed, either as being present or absent, is part of a history monk's stock in trade. In fact, he'd packed his broom and his bonsai mountains, and had gone by secret tunnels and devious means to the hidden valley in the central peaks, where the abbot was waiting for him. The abbot was playing chess in the long gallery that overlooked the valleys. Fountains bubbled in the gardens, and swallows flew in and out of the windows. "All went well," said the abbot, without looking up.
"Very well, Lord," said Lutse. "I had to notch things a little, though."
"I wish you wouldn't do that sort of thing," said the abbot, fingering a pawn. "You'll overstep the mark one day."
"It's the history we've got these days," said Lutse. "Very shoddy stuff, Lord. I have to patch it up all the time."
"Yes, yes.
We used to get much better history in the old days."
"Things were always better than they are now. It's in the nature of things."
"Yes, Lord."
"Lord,"
the abbot looked up in mild exasperation,
"you know the books say that Brother died and there was a century of terrible warfare?"
"You know my eyesight isn't what it was, Lutse."
"Well, it's not entirely like that now."
"Just so long as it all turns out all right in the end," said the abbot.
"Yes, Lord,"
said the history monk. "There are a few weeks before your next assignment. Why don't you have a little rest?"
"Thank you, Lord. I thought I might go down to the forest and watch a few falling trees."
"Good practice, good practice. Mind always on the job, eh?"
As Lutse left, the abbot glanced up at his opponent.
"Good man, that," he said. "Your move."
The opponent looked long and hard at the board. The abbot waited to see what long-term devious strategies were being evolved. Then his opponent tapped a piece with a bony finger.
"Remind me again," he said, "how the little horse-shaped ones move."
Eventually, Brother died, in unusual circumstances. He had reached a great age, but this at least was not unusual in the church. As he said, you had to keep busy every day. He rose at dawn and wandered over to the window. He liked to watch the sunrise. They hadn't got around to replacing the temple doors. Apart from anything else, even Urn hadn't been able to think of a way of removing the weirdly contorted heap of molten metal. So they'd just built steps over them. And after a year or two, people had quite accepted it, and said it was probably a symbol. Not of anything exactly, but still a symbol. Definitely symbolic. But the sun did shine off the copper dome of the library. Brother made a mental note to inquire about the progress of the new wing.